All right, Brother Scott, why don't you come? Glad to have Brother Scott again with us. And so let's give him a welcome, and let's give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
Thank you, preacher. I appreciate that. All right, 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 6. Thank you, sister, for the song. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you, Pastor Myers, for allowing me to come and be with you folks again. It is a blessing. Talking about the building, I was pray for you folks often with regards to that building. I look forward to the day you get in it. I'm sure you do as well, and that'll be a good day. And thankful for just watching your faithfulness all these years as the Lord has worked through you with regards to all that. It was good to see Pastor Esposito. Got a chance to go across and talk to him for just a minute, and spend a little bit of time with him. That was a blessing as well. So thank you all. Just so many great memories. Wish we had time to talk about it. We won't take time for that. And glad that you're here. Stand with me if you found your place. Together we'll read the scripture there. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. There's a passage of scripture in the Old Testament about Jabez. I'm sure you've heard about Jabez. The Bible says with regards to Jabez that he had a prayer, and he made this mention to the Lord. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil." He knew that those two things go together, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested, answered his prayer request. And that was a great prayer request for growth. He started a prayer campaign that God would bless him. And certainly with that blessing, we all understand, comes more responsibility. That's what I always think about when you start, you know, wanting something, you wanting more. I remember when I pastored, I wanted more people and more ministries and those types of things. But more always comes with what? More responsibility. And we understand that if you are a parent for any amount of time, with every new child comes more responsibility that goes with that. So with those thoughts in mind, if we could, I want to read with you here, verse number 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfrayed, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. Verse 10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is enlarged unto you, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now, for a recompense is this in the same, I speak as unto my children. Notice this next phrase, be ye also enlarged. Father, thank you for the time that we have together. I pray that you would be mighty in our midst once again. And Lord, use the message in all of our lives. Lord, may we understand, even as we talked about your greatness, Lord, what you can do, what you have planned. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to tap into that reality with that understanding, that we will see all things with regards to you and realize that all things are possible with God. And Lord, that you have a plan, And Lord, it's good for us to be involved in what you're doing. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us with that, that each and every one of us maybe today have something of our life that we need to surrender, whereby you'll be able to do more with us. Help us now, I pray, through this message, bring glory to yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. I'll just make some comments with regards to thinking about expansion and more responsibility that goes with that. Certainly, over the years, I have made a study of different churches as I've been in evangelism and looking at different churches and seeing what they do and how God uses them and the opportunities that are there and maybe some opportunities that are missed. And just kind of watching and looking from one church to another church and just making my own study of that, if you will, I've noticed that a sign of maturity in a church is when they become a sending church. And usually a sending church, a church that increases, multiplies, usually that accompanies a church that is growing up or has grown up and matured in Christ. And that Christ is then seen in that church that has a heart for him. And certainly you see that. And the maturing that takes place with regards to that. Now, such a church makes then eternal investments. And they're more mindful of that as they grow up. They're usually a missions-minded church. You find a church that is missions-minded, you'll find a mature church, one that has a outreach mentality, a church that is constantly reaching out so that it might draw people to Christ. And certainly you see that with a mature church, and I see that here at Pacific and have seen that for years. Now, however, understanding that, we also find that a productive church is always looking to do more, always wanting to do more. A productive church will be an effective church, both near and far. A productive church must become a more efficient church. We understand that, so that the productivity, more productivity, can be entrusted to them. More can be given to them. Much given, much is required. We certainly understand that. And that's why a mature church is able to send out their own missionaries to go to the field, as well as contributing and also supporting other missions endeavors. They do both. And God is able to entrust more to them so that then they can do even more. And since you're growing and becoming productive, I'm surely you have understood this and how God uses all of that. And you learn to juggle it. And there's more people that get involved. And as more people get involved, if the pastor is the only one doing, then the church is going to be very limited. I've watched that with small churches. If he's leading the singing and he's having to do special music, or his family's having to do all the special music and he's having to do the cleanup of the church and do all those things, that church is going to be very limited for many years to come. And so I'm always encouraging guys, even as they have somebody come into their church that maybe, quote, isn't quite yet qualified to do some things, if you will, they can then start giving them the little things so that they can grow them up, taking the offering and some of those things. Why? Because more is what we're looking for. Now, if you want more, then you need to have the capacity or the container that's going to hold more. And I won't take time to demonstrate it, but if you take a small bottle like this and you try to pour 5 gallons of water into this, it's not going to fit. The capacity won't hold it, right? It can only hold a certain amount of water. This particular one, 500 milligrams or 16.9 fluid ounces. That's getting the max with regards to this. And it's not going to hold any more than that. It's just not. And so if you want a container that holds more, you've got to trade up to something like a 2-liter bottle in order to be able to take and pour more into that. And as you expand that capacity, as you stretch it so that it can hold more. Now, you understand that with regards to remodeling a room. If you remodel a room, it where you knock down a wall and you expand the square footage of a particular room, then it can hold more. There's more square footage to be able to do more with. There's an expansion, there's an increase, there's a growth, all of that. Now, thinking in these terms, you certainly understand with regards to farming in Central California. It's good to have some Central California people here today who can attest to this. Miss Valerie, a little bit of farming up there, amen. She has a little knowledge of that, I'm sure. Is that if you want to take more crops, if you want to grow more crops and you want to take more to market so that you can get more of a return, if you will, you've got to have more acreage in order to be able to do that. You're going to max out doing what you can with 1 acre, and you're going to go to a second acre, a third acre, if you're going to be able to do more. Is everybody with me? So certainly Central California understands that and how that works. You can plant more if you have more land, and then you can take more to market. In this passage of Scripture that we're just looking at, Paul is challenging these people that in spite of all of the many different things, notice, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, afflictions, necessities, and distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, and labors, and watchings, and fastings, and pureness, and by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfrayed, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. Notice, I want you to notice with all of these things are included in the idea of enlargement. The Lord Jesus Christ knew who he could use to be able to be, if you will, the face of the gospel, taking the gospel to the world. He knew who he could use. He took a man that he could stretch, a man who could handle the affliction and the pain and the suffering and all of those things that went with it. He took a man who he could give more knowledge to. He took a man who could incorporate all of those things that we just mentioned with regards to being a minister of God. More kindness and more love and more compassion. And he put that in this man named Paul and those that Paul trained and those that were around him so that there could be more. I mean, you talk about somebody that was just full of God and full of the gospel and an administrator and somebody who could go to the world. The Apostle Paul was it. Man, all the churches that he wrote to and all the things he did, you and I, we're very limited maybe to understand all that God used him for without the technologies and the benefit that you and I have today to get the gospel to the world. Now, this is God's business. It's spiritual business, and God certainly enabled him for all of this. But here's what I want you to see with regards to this. Do you know where God makes room for more first? In your heart. If God's going to enlarge and he's going to expand a ministry, if he's going to expand a church as a whole, it all starts with the enlargement of the individual heart. As the church talks about the possibility of adding a ministry, like a bus route, we're going to add another. We've got so many bus routes, we're going to add another bus route to it. We're going to add another. Maybe we're going to go plant a church in another neighborhood. We're going to add another Sunday school class to what we're already doing. If we're going to add a jail ministry, and we're going to add this ministry, and we're going to add that ministry, the first place of expansion is the heart. Now, if you're thinking about such expansions, a lot of times, typically, the first thought that people have is, well, there's going to be an expense. We're going to need more money. If we're going to expand, if we're going to have a building program, you've got to have more money. What are we going to do about money, Pastor? We've got to have money if we're going to do this. And that typically is the first thought, is that it comes whereby there's a challenge with regards to the pocketbook. And I would say to you that the challenge isn't with the pocketbook. It's with the heart. Increase expansion starts in the heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so the expansion starts with regards to the heart. It doesn't make any difference how much it costs if the heart is not in it. It doesn't make any difference what the cost is. I want to start, man, we got all these, we got money, we can buy buses. Who will drive? Who's going to drive? Well, nobody's going to drive. It doesn't make any difference how much money you got. God doesn't start with anything else with regards to expansion. He starts with the heart. And so, as we think about with regards to ministry and expansion and growth and increase, to do more for Christ, the people of that ministry need a heart for the expansion. Their heart needs to be enlarged. And that's the challenge that he's giving here. I don't take time with this because I want to highlight some other passages of Scripture with regards to this. But notice Paul once again, now, for a recompense in the same. All these things that he's just been talking to them about, the straightening, the enlargement of his heart for them. And they were a challenge. Make no mistake about it. The Corinthians were a great challenge. Come on now. As people go. But he was doing it and he was willing to do that. And he was willing to invest in their lives because he realized at the end of the day that if they came on board with this and their heart was enlarged, then it'd be worth every investment that he made. Are we a worthy investment? More capacity for more room for more. It starts first with the heart. I remember when I was pastor and we wanted to start a Christian school. We got our men together as our habit was and talk, and we had our little war room conversation. And the rule with the war room was it's decided in that we talk about it. We decided in that room. And when we went out of that room in agreement, nobody talks negatively about it after we get out of there. And so we talked about starting the school, and we had the money to start the school and all that. And I said, we on board with all this. And everybody was on board with it. And there was one man that was in that room that day that when he went out, he started speaking negatively about it. He's talking against it. And I found out about it. I went to him and I had a discussion. Brother, you know the rules are that when we have a meeting like that, if you got anything against it, you talk about it in that meeting. And all of the men come together and they agree on it. And we can go out and present it to the church. I said, you know that's what we do. But you want to know why he was against that? He didn't have a heart for it. And the reason he didn't have a heart for it is he didn't have any kids in the school. And he didn't have any grandkids in the school. If he'd had grandkids in the school, no doubt, Brother Ryan, he'd have been for starting a school. Because his heart would have been more into that. He would have had something of interest in that. And as a result of that, he would have been engaged in it. But he wasn't. Now, I don't want to go too far into this particular thought, but we do understand that there's, wherever there's an effectual door that's open, there's going to be an adversary. We know that. Amen. Case in point, the Garden of Eden. Come on. Anywhere that God's doing a work, somewhere, everywhere that God's doing a work, Satan's going to show up. Case in point, the Garden of Eden. Another case in point, Nehemiah, when he's building a wall, Sanballat and Tobiah and those guys came against it. He's a mastermind of disagreement. And division and working against it and trying to create disagreeable situations so that it works against what God's doing. Now, he's not going to prevail against the church, but he will assail against the church, which means that he is going to approach it negatively or violently to try to attach that to it and to be offensive toward the things that God wants to do. Now, where do you think he targets? You're right. He targets the heart. Satan's going to go after our hearts because he knows that that's where God's working to get people involved in the work of God and what God wants to do. And so he's going to target with distractions and disillusionments and discouragement and disruptions and doubt and disillusionment, whatever you want, whatever it comes from, if you will. That's why God tells us to guard our heart. Out of it are the what? Issues of life. And if he can gain access to the heart, he's going to try to shrink it. He's going to try to restrict it so that it doesn't have that enlarged capacity. He wants to make it as small as possible. He wants to counteract the enlarging of the heart. Here's the question. Will we let him? Whenever the idea is put forth, the challenge is put forth about this ministry or doing something more, will we allow for Satan to get in there and to disrupt that? I won't take time to turn there, but all of these passages, but look with me, please, at Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. In Acts chapter number 4, the passage we won't turn to, you know that when they started seeing growth, when the Pharisees looked and Pentecost happened and there was growth at Pentecost, and then they go into the door of the temple and silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And so he heals a man, and that draws another crowd, and then there's 5,000 that get saved there. So now you got 8,000 people plus that are, come on now, that are being saved. And what happened? They came against them and threatened them and said, stop it. And when they didn't stop it, in Acts chapter number 5, they came back to him again and say, didn't we tell you to stop it? And they were trying to drive fear into their hearts so that they would stop doing what they were doing. God's working, and so the enemy comes and driving that fear. We will beat you. We'll punish you. We will jail you if you don't stop it. Well, we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. You do what you got to do. We got to do what we got to do. Come on now. The city comes against. The government comes against. Come on now. We cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. It's all we know to do. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so we understand that. So we see the trouble from without, but then we also see the trouble from within. Look at chapter number 6. Everybody with me so far? Look at chapter number 6. It says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And how come they get helped and we don't get help? And that kind of division was there. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. We already have a responsibility over here doing this. We can't leave this and come over here and do this. We're busy over here. We have a function over here that we're operating in. We can't stop what we're doing over here to come and do this. So then what's the next thing to do? Notice, if you will, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this what? Business. I like it that the Bible calls it business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so what do? They looked out among them and they found Stephen and some others that were full of the Holy Ghost. The daily ministration problem, and it's simply part of doing the business of the Lord. Let me just say it that way, okay? Daily ministration, just part of serving God. Just the thing. Somebody's got to clean up and somebody's got to do this. And, you know, these floors don't vacuum themselves and those kind. Come on now. The toilets don't clean themselves. Those of us who are privileged this morning to come in here, I benefited as I have used this building today, and I've benefited off of somebody else's labor to clean, to wash, to tidy up, the daily ministration of the ministry. Come on now. And no doubt all of us have benefited off the fact when nobody was here and nobody was watching and nobody was looking, the work was still being done at Pacific Baptist Church. Because there's people who have a heart that understand that when the gospel is preached and others are in here, somebody's got to do the nursery. Somebody's got to get up a little extra on Sunday morning and go down into the neighborhoods with the buses and pick up little children whose parents don't bring them to church. Isn't that how this church started? A bunch of little children who a pastor had a heart for. Come on now. The daily ministration. He said, look out amongst you. It's growing pains. It's not much different than the types of problems that come, if you will, that are designed to shrink a ministry. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were trying to shrink a ministry. And in this, it can be trouble from without or it can be trouble from within. If the heart of the ministry is large enough, let me say this to you, it's not a problem. When such problems come along, you'll be able to, as it's mentioned here, just look out among you and appoint somebody with a heart for that. Somebody who's full of the Holy Ghost, well, let's just appoint them. And if you got enough volunteers, that are just, come on now, they're just ready. Pastor, you need anything? Come on now. You need anything? Pastor, well, when you do, just let me know, okay? Well, I don't have anything right now. Okay, but when you do, I'm ready. Come on now. That there's a whole pool of them. There's a whole group of people who are standing on the side and just saying, I want to go into the game. Tell me when I can go into the game. I don't want to sit on the bench anymore. I want to go in the game. I've got a heart for this game. I want to be in the game, preacher. Put me in the game. And when a church has a whole group of people that are anxious to get in the game, come on now. Man, I wish they'd make it where there were 10 that could play basketball at the same time. Come on, pastor. Why can't we have a new league that doubles it? Instead of 5 players, why can't there be 10? Come on now. We'll make the court bigger. We'll put 4 goals out there, not just 2. Come on now. We'll transform basketball right here and now. Come on now. Somebody say amen. 22 football players. Come on now. Pastor, put me in. See, when a ministry is able to have a group of people, it doesn't get interrupted. It doesn't slow down. It doesn't prevent the continuation of the ministry when there's people that are ready with a heart. See, problems will come, but a ministry with an enlarged heart can handle it. A ministry with a large heart will have people that can be appointed whenever such an issue arises. Very, very simply, enlarged heart, standing by, on the ready. Pastor, I want to help. Do you have a capacity for more? Is there more room in your heart for more? One of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? How have you benefited them? You can't just simply say, be warmed and filled. You've got to make room for more. You've got to make room for more. Look at Acts chapter number 10. Think with me now about adding a ministry to a church as large as the Gentile ministry. I mean, there's a potential for some serious growth if you can add your Gentile ministry to your Jewish ministry. Come on now. And that's exactly what we're dealing with in Acts chapter number 10. And when you look at this, if you will, you understand that when God sought to add, I would have you to notice that there's resistance to what God wanted to do. That said, we certainly have an adversary, certainly, that tries to show his face whenever there's something, if you will. But let that adversary not be me. Let me not be the one of resistance and the one of limitation. Come on now. That God wants to expand and he wants to do more. And Peter goes, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything uncommon or unclean. Come on now. Notice, if you will, the passage of Scripture with me. We won't read all of this. He's very hungry while he's waiting. The heavens were open. The great sheet was let down to the earth in verse number 11. Verse number 12, we're all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things. And there came a voice to him, verse 13, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And of course, the voice comes again. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. You know what he's telling you? I don't have a heart for this. I don't have a heart for this type of expansion. And we see that certainly in Matthew chapter number 15 is that woman, remember, send her away for she crieth after us. They didn't have a heart for her trouble. They didn't have a heart for her grievous situation that she's sitting here. I don't care if she's got the devil in her home. That don't make any difference to me. I don't have a heart for her. Send her away. I'm tired of hearing her cry. In order to put your Gentile ministry in, preacher, you're going to have to change that heart. Or there ain't going to be a Gentile ministry. Come on now. Peter opens his mouth in verse number 34 and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Once he gets into this thing a little bit, he realizes he's going against God. His heart isn't where God's heart is. And I won't take time for it, but in chapter number 11 and chapter number 15, he's got to go to the church on two different occasions, and they've got to have a Gentile building committee meeting. Come on now. Which Paul and Barnabas were kind of the heads of. And the church had to go through this two different times of trying to clean out the hearts of people who are kind of against it and trying to limit it and trying to restrict it. I thought about with regards to that, you know, whenever a smaller ministry starts to grow in a church and the people who have the adult Sunday school class in the adult auditorium and the others are meeting in this little bitty room, but it starts to excel and outgrow the adult Sunday school class, you know, the little teen class does, and then the teen leader comes and goes, "Pastor, can we use the auditorium because our ministry is growing. We don't have anywhere to put everybody." And your six people you got in your class are, come on now. We'll let you guys meet outside under the, in the, you know, the tarp somewhere. Come on now. Everybody okay? See, when you see growth, it requires a change in attitude. You see God doing good things in a ministry. A Haman attitude has no room for the Jews. He didn't have compassion for them. He didn't see the value in them. Paul had to talk Philemon into taking Onesimus back. "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." You need to take him back. And if he's done you wrong, put it on my account. My account's big enough. If your account isn't big enough, put it on my account, because my account's big enough. I can handle it. Is your account big enough for somebody else's wrong? Look with me at Ruth chapter number 5. Ruth chapter number 5. Now the understanding with regards to all this, and I want to say this, and I would have you to know, I'm not talking about prejudice of somebody not liking different kinds of people, okay? I'm talking about indifference in all of its forms and all of its fashions that would limit or prevent increase in the growth of a particular ministry. I want to be clear that there's other things, if you will, that are prejudiced, if you will, besides just not liking somebody, okay, not liking a kind of a person. And certainly the parable of the sower gives us that. The Bible gives the understanding, that which is sown in the heart, that he which receiveth seed by the wayside, but he that receives seed into stony grounds. Notice that there's some things in that ground, if you will, that prevent the growth. There's not enough capacity in the ground for the thorns and the thistles and all these other things and good ground to be able to grow. There's a contradiction that works against. It's counteractive. I won't take time to turn there, but you know the passage of Scripture that there's a Brother Ryan, there's a contradiction that's in the soil. See, when there's good ground, and there's a lot of good ground, there can be a lot of good growth and a lot of fruitfulness. But if there are cares of this world, come on now. When tribulation or persecution arise from the word, that it becomes offended. When the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the potential for growth, because there's not enough room in the heart for both things. Something's got to go. And that's why he says, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't be loyal to both of them. You're going to have to decide which one you're going to be loyal to. Now, these are the types of things, if you will, that clog the heart and prevent it from working. You can be unhealthy in every aspect of your life. You can be healthy, strong arms and strong legs, and be able to kind of carry yourself well. And I'm a specimen. But I want to tell you something. You get a little clog in one of those little arteries close to the heart, I don't care how healthy you are. You can be flat on your back real fast, quick-like. Come on now. It disrupts the growth. Let me just read prejudice for you. To possess with unexamined opinions or opinions formed without due knowledge of the facts and circumstances attending the question, to bias the mind by hasty and incorrect notions and give it an unreasonable bent to one side or the other of a cause. It doesn't say anything about people in there. It doesn't say anything about the color of somebody's skin. See, prejudice goes far beyond. It just happens to work well when Peter has a prejudice against the Gentiles. Come on now. But it's unfounded, he says. To obstruct or injure by prejudice or an undue previous bias of the mind, or to hurt or to damage, to diminish, impair in a very general sense. What is impairing our growth? Look at Ruth chapter number 1. Everybody found it? And she said, behold, my sister, verse 15, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw, not when she heard, but when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. You know what she saw? She saw her heart. I mean, she put it right on display. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It wasn't, where else am I going to go? It was, I wholeheartedly commit to this journey that you're on. I'm surrendering my life to go to Bethlehem, Judah, because their heart was with Naomi. Where you go, I'm going to go. Is that like that for us when Jesus says, I'm going here, and we say to Jesus, where you go, I'm going with you, Jesus. Jesus, if that's where you are, if you're going door knocking this morning, Jesus, I want to be where you are this morning. Jesus, if you're going to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, if you're going to be there for Sunday school, Jesus, I want to be where you are. Jesus, if your heart is in that offering plate, I want to be in the offering plate too. If your heart is on the mission field, I want my heart to be on the mission field. I want my heart to be where your heart is. Oh, but death part me and thee. Have we made that our surrender? Are we that? I mean, that's fanatical. Is that where you are? I'm going with you. Where you go, I'm going to go. At first, what we notice with regards to Naomi is she didn't have room for Ruth. She tried to send her back down there to Moab because she didn't want responsibility of her as a ministry. The Lord's dealt bitterly with me. I'm Mara now. I don't even want to be Naomi anymore. You going back down there, you go back to your other gods. Oh, my. What a thing to suggest to somebody is to tell them you don't have capacity in your heart, so they should go back to their other gods. If all you can say is be warmed and filled. Good luck to you. You're on your own. Oh my. However, in the end, guess what? She's glad that she made more room for her in her life. Ruth became a huge blessing to her. She's an added blessing to her home because she contributed to the happiness of her home. If it wasn't for her going out and gleaning in that field and bringing back what she got out of the field, bringing back that supply, Naomi may have never got there on her own. She got there because that woman says, I'm going to go glean. Is it okay if I go glean? You go ahead and go glean. Whatever. Get out of the house. I don't want you around me anyways. Come on now. Get out. Good riddance. Get out. I don't need you here anyhow. Come on now. But when she came back, and she had her hands full of good stuff. Come on now. Hey, where you been today? Well, I was over there with this guy named Boaz. Boaz? I know Boaz, yeah, he's close kin to that. Yeah. Oh, he what? He told you what? Oh, he wants to date you. Oh, okay. Here's what you do. I'm going to teach you how to date a Jewish guy. Here's what you do. Come on now. Now all of a sudden she wants to minister. Now all of a sudden she's engaged in what's taking place. She was a very nice addition that brought her joy for many years to come. And now Naomi has more room for Ruth, and she doesn't want to be Mara anymore. You know what this means with regards to this? Now watch this. When Naomi brought Ruth into her home, there's less room for Naomi so that there can be more room for Ruth. So you'll have to make less room to make more room. You'll have to make more room for the right things, and you'll have to make less room for the wrong things. You'll have to make less room for disagreement and indifference and division and worldliness and self. You're going to have to decrease so that there can be increase. You'll need to make more room for love and compassion and mercy, temperance and kindness and courage and faith. Let me ask you, are those things on your prayer list? Is love on your prayer list? Some years back, I just got it in my mind that I really wasn't loving like I ought to. So you know what I had to do? I had to put love on the prayer list. Is love on your prayer list? Mercy? You good at mercy with everybody? Or do you have a get out of here, you're bothering me attitude? If you're going to be a better minister, you got to put mercy on you on your prayer list. Compassion. On some have compassion, what? Making a difference. I guess you got to put compassion on your prayer list. Come on now. Kindness. Goodness. Grace. You know when the Gibeonites got in there and they did the little thing in Joshua chapter number 9 and chapter number 10, they showed back up and said, look, we've got a problem. You need to come help us. When they made more room for the Gibeonites, guess what they also had to make more room for? The Gibeonites' problems. You know what happens when you add people to your church? You have to make more room for their problems too, because people come with problems. That's just part of it. More is wonderful, but more comes with more. Comes with more difficulty. When Cecilia and I first started our family, our little ones, we found out that little ones come with problems. Come on now, somebody say amen. If you're married and got children, you're very familiar with having more. It means you're going to have less. Somebody say amen. Come on now. Adding people to your life can be great joy, but you're going to have to make capacity for more. You have to make more room if you want more. This doesn't just mean money. To have more, first and foremost, you're going to have to expand your prayer closet. You're going to have to expand the time in the closet. And that's what we talk about with regards to making more room in your God, please, I want you to give me more. I need to be less, so that you can do more with me. I like the picture. I'll just kind of paint it for you if I could, is that when Jesus got into their ship and he told them to launch out into the deep, when they went out and they cast their net, what happened? Their ship began to what? Sink. And they had to call their buddies because they didn't have capacity enough to handle what the Lord Jesus Christ just added to their lives. And he's teaching them something with this. He's giving them more fish in their boat, but it wouldn't hold it. That what he gave them began to cause them, the Bible says, to sink. So that they beckon to their friends and say, we don't have enough capacity with regards to this. We're going to need a bigger boat because the miracles that you do are bigger than we can do ourselves. So when you get God involved in this and you say, God, we're available to you, get ready for more. Because he can overload your boat. They were astonished by witnessing, and he's teaching them. They're learning from this that if you're going to travel with Jesus, you're going to have to have capacity for more. Don't you think it was troublesome as they travel around and the crowds and the multitudes are pushing them everywhere they went? It wasn't like that in that boat. Come on now. Man, they got crowds pushing them. Get off of me, man. Come on now. You know how Peter talked. Come on. Get off of me. People pushing and shoving. You know, a lady came to get healed and touched the hem of his garment. What do you mean, who touched you? There's people all over the place. We can't even hardly breathe. There's so many people. If you want to be around the one who brings more, you're going to have to make room for more. Ruth added value and hope to Naomi's life once she saw the value of Ruth that she added to her life. At first, she wasn't looking at it that way. At first, she's looking at it like, you're a bother to me. But afterwards, she saw the value that more brought to her. Can I tell you that more comes with a value, comes with a benefit. God will bring some precious, precious people into our lives as we're ministering for the Lord. He'll bring some people into our lives that can help us. Come on now. I don't know that she would have assigned herself to go to Naaman's house, but guess what? After she helped him with regards to that healing, he was glad to have her in his house. You ain't going nowhere else, girl. You stay right here in my home. I got to keep you. I see the value of you. Probably didn't look at it like that before. I thought about people coming with problems and yet they can enrich our lives. I was out door knocking. My wife and I were out door knocking and we went to this house, and as we at the house and she's talking to the lady, there's a lady there at the door. She comes out and her little boy comes out. He's just a little teeny tiny boy. He comes to the door, and as he's there at the door, he's got a mouthful of sucker. I ain't kidding you. He's just a little bitty guy, but he's got a mouthful of sucker. And he eats them the way that a little bitty, you know, three-year-old boy ought to eat sucker. You know how that is, right? I mean, it's all over his face. He's touching it with his hands. And he's got it, you know, he's got it all over, I mean, everything. And you know what he wants to do when his mom's talking to us? He decides he wants to hug my leg. He comes out the door and reaches hold of and grabs hold of my leg. And then when he does, he's like, you know how those dogs do whenever they shake real like that? He gets on my leg and he starts rubbing his face. I guess he's trying to get some of that sucker off. Come on now. And I look down, it's all over my pant leg. Come on now. I mean, you can't flick him. Come on, his mother's standing right there. Help me. That little dude, man, he got that sucker all over my pant leg. I told my wife, Edward, she's looking. I go, did you look at my pant leg here? And I'm glad your wife takes wipes with her everywhere. Come on now. But you know what that little boy's mama did? She came to church. Can I tell you something? You're probably going to get some stickiness on your pants if you're going to do ministry. You're going to get some stickiness on you when you do ministry. That's how things grow. By faith, man and his family step out by faith. And look at Romans chapter number 8, one last passage of scripture. They follow God's leading, and then another family by faith decides to join that man and his wife, and then another family, and then another family, and another family. More families join. They step out by faith, and they follow. Whose faith follow? They don't know. None of them really know where it's going to take them or what's going to happen, but they all just kind of begin to follow. And they didn't realize it, but when they joined, they also joined an expansion or a building program. They didn't realize it. They joined together with Christ. Anytime you join together with Christ, there's always going to be more. So you get ready for building, get ready for more, making more room in your heart for more, that the possibility of hope of even more and more. Didn't realize it at the start, but that's what's there. Making room for less, that you might make room for more. And then going forward, don't underestimate the greatness and the power of God, because God can do great things. I think about that woman that she told her children to go and borrow vessels. She borrowed not a few. We're going to need a lot. And they borrowed them, brought all them vessels. The vessels ran out before the power of God did. The vessels will run out before the power of God does. Because God can always give you more than you can handle. He'll sink your ship with it. Now, I like this passage of Scripture. Look at verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Remember, we're talking about all of those things that are added whenever you want more to enlarge your heart. And he said, in distresses and atonements. And come on now. We read it. All is part of the more plan. Notice, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Do these things have to shipwreck you or sink your boat? No. As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor anything nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is because that when God first sent his son to die on the cross for us, to give mercy and compassion in his loving heart, he made room for more. He made room for us. He didn't just make room for you then, he made room for you for all times. Every sin you'd ever commit, every other sin you ever did commit. God made room for all of that. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can know this, that God already made room for you. His plan included you. His plan included everyone that's here. When his son went to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, he made room for everybody. Amen. Whosoever will may come. Amen. Why? Because God's got room. So as I read that passage of Scripture, I realize he made room. That making sure that there'd be enough room, that there'd be plenty of vessels. God compensated for every one of those things. And he's looking for you and I to follow his steps. That he made room for us. Now guess what he wants? He wants you to make room for him. Can you make more room for God? Because if you make more room for God, you will make more room for others. He must increase, but I must what? Decrease. I've got to make more room for him. And as I do, I'm going to make more room for others. Stand with me if you would, with your heads bowed and eyes closed.